picture this. You're scrolling through your feed and suddenly, bam, you land on an incredible live stream and someone's sharing secrets about nurturing that stunning plant you've been eyeing. You're instantly hooked, asking questions, laughing, and joining vibrant conversations with passionate plant lovers from all over the world.
These live streams aren't just about selling plants. They're hangouts, educational classes, and exciting community events. And while you're waiting for your next favorite seller or educator to go live, join chat channels similar to Discord, where the fun never stops and plant friendships flourish.
Feeling inspired, you decide it's time to buy your dream plant. Here's the best part. It's not just a transaction. You're connecting directly with amazing sellers and becoming part of a genuinely engaged community. Need any tips? Have any questions? Want to celebrate your plant's first ever bloom? Overgrown Oasis community is always eager to support, guide, and cheer you on.
Overgrown Oasis is more than just a platform. It's your new plant-loving adventure and community home. So dive into the excitement, connect deeply, and watch your plant dreams bloom alongside friends. You can find Overgrown Oasis by visiting overgrownoasis.com.
Your ultimate plant-loving community awaits.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Coya.
Hello, everybody. Annyeong.
Hola.
Hi. At first I looked over, I thought you were drinking from that.
I was.
We have like a vase of flowers that Adam put together here on the table.
And there is a peony that's opening and I just wanted to see if it smelled.
But when I glanced over, it looked like you were drinking out of it.
I was. I'm trying to grow a little.
And then Jesse said, let me smell. But then
right, when everything shifted. She had to say,
hi. She sniffed the microphone.
Yeah.
Smell good.
Instead of the flower. Anyway.
Smells great.
Smells like Adam's house,
which is lovely. And then Patches, my cat, has also joined us, attached to Lydia.
If Lydia could stop hitting her, there'd be less cat hair, which I'm allergic to, flying all over the room.
Wait, but how do you deal with that with your cat?
You're the one that told me she could stay.
Yeah, she was going to put Patches down and you're like, no.
I did
she
say
was
that.
Like, or she could just stay.
I didn't know you were actively de-shedding her as she was there. I vacuum like 3 or 4 times a week. Yeah. And when I'm not vacuuming, the Roomba is. And I have this aller pet thing that I put on her. And it really helps with the allergy to a cat.
You know those people that think that you know those bushy plants where like if you put it in your mouth, it like puffs up.
Yeah. Well, I've never put plants in my mouth.
Put in my mouth.
Oh my goodness, are you seeing this? You need to go sit outside. We can record from out there.
I am seeing this. That's why I'm waiting for your reaction to see it.
There's cat hair flying everywhere. I cannot work in these conditions. Oh my lord. Can I have a like paper bag? Yeah. Just like cover me.
Hold on.
Okay. Can you? No, oh my god, she's shaking it all off in front of the fan.
I have a fan on the floor right there. Oh, Beyonce?
It's like everything is blowing here. Literally, look at that. Can you stop moving?
I don't. I'm done. I don't have any.
Look! Look at my straw. Is covered in cat. It looks like a buttered chicken that you like dipped in feathers.
It's not that bad. You make me seem like my home is just...
No, your home is fine. It's the de-shedding the cat right as we're hitting the record button.
I wasn't gonna put her down. You said it was fine.
I said it was fine to hold her and then say de-shed her on camera. Anyway, now that you guys have been able to see how
is our queen,
dysfunctional we are.
Is our queen fine?
No. I'll be fine.
Oh, if that makes it onto
next week, Jesse's gonna bring plastic bag to cover hers.
If that makes it onto the pod, I think that would be a very good clip to go over to YouTube and look at. and watch.
I'm okay with it being online. Like, I'm not trying to act like I'm not a diva. I am a diva, okay? I was born this way.
Mm-hmm. Beyonce sang that song about you.
Yeah, she really did.
She is a diva.
We good?
Yeah. Yeah, we're fine.
So, a friendly reminder, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to letstalktalkhoya@gmail.com. It's a new thing that we're doing. We usually don't ask for like hair tips or anything in our DMs, but if you send us an email, we will answer them in one of our episodes. So
did we get any?
No.
Oh, we just announced it. It just went out today.
Yeah. So then I was like, well, might as well, you know, put that here. So then maybe next time we'll have something. Yeah.
It went out during a answering your questions episode. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
For now, I think the masses are pissed.
It'll be more of a sharing our thoughts. There we go. That's what we said last time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, putting that there. But today, I feel like it's been a little bit of time since we talked about any new publications or just stuff going on in the Hoya world. So I thought it'd be fun to share some articles or posts or people and just things that are going on in the Hoya world for any of you all that might be little scientific nerds and want to read into things. And so there will be show notes where all of the links will be linked, but we're just going to go over some things that we found that have posted within the last like year or so.
Yay.
Little miss.
Busy, just a busy bee.
I'm Googling, guys.
But I was on like the Facebook groups and on Instagram, just trying to look around and see kind of what was out there. And we had a interview and episode with Fraser Cook, episode 53, if that's something that you want to listen to. And at that point last year, when we were doing the recording with him, he was telling us that he was going to be heading out to Indonesia to do his PhD work and stuff like that. And it looks like it's like full steam on the way, like so much information. If you follow him on @botanicalotter on Instagram, he's always posting on there some of the work that he's doing. But also if you go on YouTube, I saw that he's posted like a few YouTube videos just like on updates and things like that. And so a lot of really great information that he's sharing. And so if that's stuff that you're interested in, he's a really great one to follow, because he's also talking about, you know, like plant poaching and ethical practices and plant hunters and what all that means while still trying to like look into the species and stuff like that. So lots of really cool work I feel like he's doing.
Yeah, he's really like the nature superstar.
Yeah,
king out there. Mm-hmm. I love watching his videos.
He is pretty active on Instagram stories, so mm-hmm. like you kind of see like a little bit of his day-to-day life. He adopted a cat, and then he was trying to like save stray cats,
which I'm sure there's just tons of stray animals in general. Yeah. In that part of the country, I couldn't live there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Because you'd want to take everything home, not because you hate animals.
Yes, yes. Because okay. I would want to save all the animals. Yeah. But two interesting things that I saw was that Fraser did a talk at the Singapore Botanical Garden. I guess they're doing like a speaker series, and he talked about plant hunters, resellers, sustainability, and like the plant trade overall in Indonesia. And that's on his YouTube, but we'll also link it. But I thought it was super interesting. And then I saw there's a Facebook group by Stemma Journal.
Mm-hmm.
And that group, it's pretty active. Like a lot of people post like new stuff in there, like different like hybrids and crosses and articles that people find. But one of the things that I saw, so remember like a couple of years ago, there was the Spartioides that came out, but it was the Affinity, AFF.Spartioides.
Yes.
Well, I guess for the last 2 years, like it's been under works for that to like get a name and be published. So that just got published this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we've talked about this before. What does affinity mean?
It means it's like a certain type of Hoya. So there's like Spartioides, and this Hoya has an affinity to Spartioides. So they were calling it, but it's not Spartioides, but it's very similar. So they add affinity to it. So affinity Spartioides now has a name.
Wow, and that's in the stemma page.
Well, I can link it. It's like a separate publication that was done, but it was published in 2025, April 2025, this year, by Mikkel Rada and Sri Rahayu, are two trusted and loved and adored botanists. But I guess it's a night blooming species. They officially named it Hoya biruensis.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And Fraser made a whole post about it, but I guess he was saying for this Hoya, he says, quote, due to keeping things for publication, I can't share with you ecological data and conservation information. However, I highly suggest growing this on orchid bark and not much medium. It's a very interesting Hoya in the wild.
It does look just like Spartioides.
That makes me sad about not sharing it, because then the hunters will go to that exact spot and wild farm it. Like, that's why they have to keep those under wraps now.
Yeah. Because they're already like few and far between. And then.
But again, like,
I get what you mean by it makes you sad. It's like we can't have nice things, because if you said it, then it, like, it'd be gone in like a second.
Yeah. And I remember back in the day, like, Spartioides was becoming critically endangered in the wild. And I think, like, Ted Green was going and, like, trying to and Kloppenberg were going to try to, like, reestablish that population. I don't think it was because of wild farming, maybe, or maybe not. I don't know. I wonder what it was like back in those days. You know, if they dealt with the same kind of stuff, but, like, on a different scale.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It has to be a much bigger scale now, though.
I think
because there's like social media and people like know about things, because they were saying,
and things are readily available.
Yeah. And there was that like one publication that we read, or like someone had said at one point, where like the science can't keep up with the people. And they're even like finding out about new species via Facebook, not even like seeing it in situ or anything like that. Right. And they're trying. So I feel like with social media, that's really, really like catapulted
the yin and the
yang, like fueled, you know, kind of everything that's going on. Yeah. So I bet it was a little bit different. Cause even like in that time, they were still doing the whole like, write us a postcard and send us a picture and then we'll include it in our next newsletter. Remember that? Yeah. So it like it's just a different time.
It was kind of like this, where they're like, if you have a question, yeah, send it in. And then like you had to read the letters to the editor at the next issue. And
except it probably takes like 2 months for them to get back.
And I wonder if they were like, and let us know how specifically and quickly and importantly you want us to answer your question.
For a question episode.
Dear Barbara, thank you for sending this in 4 months ago. Seeing that you had an extreme thrips infestation, your plant is probably dead. But here's what we recommend.
God.
Just a different time. But anyway,
but I also thought, much the same.
Yeah. I thought it was awesome that, you know, we literally talked to him last year and he was excited about getting ready to go to Indonesia. And now he's like out there doing the work and publishing stuff and talking about stuff and being able to see that in probably not like real time, but like as real time as it gets is pretty cool, I feel.
Cool.
So what have you guys seen? Anything out there?
Okay, so one of the newest publications of a Hoya that I saw on Facebook and found was the Hoya Sungwooki. Sungwooki.
Can you spell that?
Sungwookii. This is it from Vietnam. This one.
Oh, Sungwooki. Yeah.
It has a green corona that's like almost a little bit, I would say, on these type specimen, like on this publication, it kind of fades, has like dark green tip and light green like inner corona. Corona. The inner.
Anyway. Oh my gosh, it's so pretty.
And the leaves are pretty too.
Yeah. The leaves also remind me very much of like that Hoya species hummingbird that I think was named something else that I can't remember right now.
It also kind of reminds me of like Are the leaves like fuzzy, or it kind of reminds me of like a Lei slash sigillatus slash.
Yeah, kind of like a fatter tipped Lei.
Yeah.
Like if the, if. Anyway, I think it's super cute. These like flowers.
Like if Lei, sigillatus, Pandorata had a baby together.
Yeah, I can see the it Pandorata. It would be something like that. There.
But the coloring is giving more caudata. Is that the right one? Caudata?
Mm-hmm.
The coloring.
The like flecks
like of the silver. Like it looks like it's like silvery.
Okay. Which picture are you looking at? Okay, that's a very splashy one.
Oh, let me see which one you're looking at.
I'm looking at the publication.
I'm looking at one. That's what I'm looking at. And it's not as...
There's in the one that they collected in the wild has a splash, but the other type specimen does not.
It is the right one, right?
Yeah. That one just must be one that's particularly...
Well, this is the one I want.
It does seem like the leaves are a little bit thicker, like closer to the, probably like the Lei vibe too. I'm just obsessed with those flowers, and they called it a lax umbel something, just to signify that like it's not a tightly packed umbel like you would think of like Carnosa, Mathilde, like those all are kind of
cluster.
The Exilis kind of has a firework type flower that kind of stretches out. It's not as skinny as the Exilis, but it kind of stretches out like that, where it's. Yeah.
Are you going to kill me if I say maybe we can put a picture of this?
No.
I bet.
I'm putting the picture I showed you
but
on.
But I still am like, I'm just so obsessed with this flower.
It's gorgeous.
Because Songwook sounds like a Korean name. I bet the person that's named after is Korean.
Well, it does say who it's named after. It's named after Mr. Songwook, who first found this plant in nature and kindly shared his discovery for our study.
That's so cool. I love it.
So this Hoya is only found in a very, actually, it is labeled critically endangered based off of the conservation parameters, but it is found in a single location in a densely populated coastal tourist area in southern Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
According to his profile, he's from Busan, South Korea.
So
I know my Korean names.
It is kind of, I think it's considered currently extinct in its local habitat, or this publication listed as Locus classicus. But I'm not sure. I've not really seen or heard of this Hoya.
Me neither.
But obviously, Jesse pulled up a picture, and it was somebody's in their collection. But
of course,
kind of want one now because I want that flower in my life.
It's very cute. It's very pretty.
The closest relation to this one is the Hoya. I don't want to oblonga cutifolia.
I've never even heard of that Hoya before.
Well, okay. UPT it sells it.
Really? I want to pull
They're all similar.
Songwookii.
This is the variety.
Oh my gosh, the flowers are adorable.
On which one are you talking about?
Oblong acutifolia?
Yeah.
They're like the corona is almost like a peachy pink, and then like further in the middle is like a hot pink.
Yeah.
But they're so cute.
It is cute. So are the Songwookii. Wookie.
I mean, the foliage is a little on the oblonga cutifolia is a little underwhelming, but the flowers are adorable. I would literally grow it.
That oblong cutifolia kind of reminds me of the Thuathuensis.
That's what I was thinking too. But did you see the flowers? Though they look so cute.
Yeah, but nothing looks cuter than those green corona flowers. So, like, I really need a green flower in my life, people. If you are out there and you have a specimen that it has a green flower,
get into those DMs. This is your chance.
Slide over to Dunk Daddy's DMs.
My Hoya,
give Daddy what he wants.
From Sumatera Island is budded up right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the flowers are going to look like. So once they open, I'll send you a picture. Maybe they'll be green. Because on the outside, they kind of look kind of like limey-ish. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to look like. So
that's exciting.
Wait and see. I'm super excited.
Wait, can you pull up a picture of that one?
I was just trying to look it up.
And also add it to Trello.
Yep.
One thing that
it's pulling up Sumatra, which it's not Sumatra, it's Sumatera. Okay, but continue.
Lydia is a, you can tell she uses a mechanical keyboard at home because it's.
I just type ferociously.
A ferocious typer. One thing I found very interesting about this publication is they have to conserve the flowers, especially when they're doing like a type specimen that they're sending in. Because you know how like, the foliage always looks busted in like busted crescent on how we always have talked about them looking on the herbarium sheets. Well, they usually put the flower in like alcohol to preserve it.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Looking at the flower that they're doing other measurements on this publication, it's like faded in color because I think it was probably just preserved in alcohol. But it's not cute like that. It's very much like brown.
And ooh, but it almost looks like porcelain.
Oh, pearl. Interesting.
But it's kind of wild to think that they just like put that in a, like, a, well, I'm guessing they probably just stick it in a tube until it gets back to wherever it's going, traveling to.
And it stays preserved and they bring it back.
These photos.
That's crazy.
And measurements.
Everyone's so creative.
Look at everybody beans. Anyway. I think people were trying to do that with flowers to do some resin stuff too. I should throw a Bella flower into alcohol to see what happens.
Because I feel like the thing is like it has to preserve in the way there's like no more moisture, right? Because if not, then it'll mold inside the resin.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I don't know how it's done. But remember one of our listeners sent us keychains that had the Hoya blooms in it? I still have mine hung on my Millsbo.
Mine's hung on the Bella.
But it like looks perfect.
I'm pretty sure mine's on my keys.
You're right.
I'm like, that's pretty impressive, actually. That like, is. One time, a long time ago, I tried to preserve a flower that I had picked and it molded and rotted and died. That's when I was a kid.
A lot of flowers I preserved.
Cool.
But.
Molded and rotted and died.
Yeah, that's really sad. Oh, but what about you, Jesse? What have you seen?
What I saw lately was...
What you've been looking at.
Sarisa? Yeah, Sarisa's post about being at the plant expo. And she got a couple hybrids registered. One of them being...
Sarisa's really good about that.
I know. That's like... My girl must say like pollinating, right?
Because she knows how to hand pollinate.
So she's getting them registered as so they can... Like, actually registered as a cultivar.
So, yeah. So, she took the mother plant, Hoya sarisana, and the daddy plant, Hoya archboldiana, and made Hoya suridiana, which won certification or something at this event. And I think it's so pretty.
Because it also has, like, the pictures of the blooms, right?
I love that she always says mother, father.
Yeah.
The way she Those blooms are so pretty.
Can I see it again?
So freaking pretty. Because blooms are already, like, gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. It's like a big, almost like an umbrella white with, like, a little dainty pink in the middle. And then the Hoya archboldiana is, like, a really big pink one.
But they're those big, like, campanula type blooms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is, like, the perfect, like, inception of both of them.
Cute.
So that's what I saw lately. That's all I know about that.
I'm going to scratch the fuck out of my nose.
Oh, are you okay?
I couldn't tell if it was a sneeze or a...
I went to itch my nose and I forgot I had this little janky ring on. Ouch. And I just tore it up.
Did you cry?
Patchy is concerned. That was
I'm jumping up. Jump. The squeak. Oh.
Oh my god, she's so cute. Look at her. Don't touch her though.
No touchy.
Yeah.
No touchy. Touchy.
Here,
but
no touchy.
She's fine being up here. Just don't pet her. And let her hair fly everywhere.
But yeah, that Hoya is beautiful. Was there another one though? There's two of them.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to mention the other ones later, but I guess we can talk about them all now. There is also, the problem is she also doesn't have the name of all of the mom and dads. She has Hoya Victoria, which mother is this big flower.
Walichii. SLM-02 probably.
And then
Chlorantha probably.
It looks like that, but I'm pretty sure she names it later. Because she did two different hybrids with that one, and both of them got registered there.
It looks like SLM-02, Walichii, mm-hmm. and then Chlorantha.
Oh, wait. I had gotten a screenshot of one of them, which does have the name. But yeah, that Walichii flower, that's kind of scary. It kind of looks like one of those death blooms.
Yeah, I don't love it.
On the...
Let me see.
On the cactuses.
Oh.
See? Oh, would it be Verstigii or no?
It could be that Verstigii. That does look
very similar to Verstigii.
Because, see?
But there's a lot of different Hoya that have a flower shape like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could be, though.
But she posted this, like, earlier that year.
That for sure.
Yeah. So it was Hoya Walichii subspecies tenebrosa is the mother, and the father is Hoya Verstigii, which is wavy, the wavy one, right?
Yeah, the fuzzy wavy one.
That's crazy.
So this is Hoya Victoria.
Yes.
Ooh, I wonder what the leaves are like on Miss Victoria. Because we only are seeing a flower in this picture.
Yeah, I mean...
And the flower looks really cool. It kind of looks like it looks like Patrick Starfish.
Is this? I'm not...
Because I'm wondering if the...
Yeah, the flower, the Victoria flower looks like Patrick the Starfish got turned inside out. Yeah.
And Google is fired because it's trying to tell me there's no specific cultivar named Hoya Victoria. Well, you're wrong.
And then the third one is Hoya Valentina, which again, I believe is the Hoya Verstigii is a father. And then I don't know what.
It's a patella. Patella pink.
Maybe? Yeah, it looks like patella pink is the mother. So she just made that patella pink in white, but with a little pink.
Wait, I want to see it again. Can I see it again?
She's very good at cross-pollinating companulate flower bloom. Yeah.
It must be easy because like that thing is huge.
It's like two things with her. One, she can hand pollinate. And then two, she can get her plants to bloom.
Yeah.
Which are like...
actually open up like all the way.
Two those very ones, hard things to do, I feel like.
Subspecies Timbrosa, we had that, or mm-hmm. Walichii, that bloomed all the time, the single bloom, but it never fully opened because it was like not humid enough. It kind of...
It has to be in like high humidity to open.
It was a one-dayer for me, like overnight. So then I'm like, is she just like on top of her? Because she's taking those photos each time.
Yeah. Hoya Victoria looks like a big like open nose or something. I don't know. It makes me a little bit uncomfortable. But same with the Walichii.
It looks like a bow.
Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
Hey there, Let's Talk Hoya listeners. We're so glad that you're here joining us as we chat all about Hoya. And can you believe it? It's already been over a year since we've been doing this podcast, and it's just been filled with so many great memories. And most of those surround you, our listeners, and hearing from you all and getting to engage with you. And if you like what you're hearing, we hope you take a moment to leave us a review. Honestly, it means so much to us. They make us laugh and it brightens our day. And so we hope that you take a moment to do that. Be sure to connect with us on Instagram. You can find us at lets.talkhoya and check out our show notes. They're linked in our bio. We also have a Patreon community called Peduncle Pals, and we hope to see you there.
I smelled a bloom and I had to look and I noticed you have a bloom here.
That one, I think it's dying.
The plant's dying?
I think
it's a death bloom.
I think it's a death bloom. Mm.
Well, give it a moment up here because that one, it literally smelled like mint in, like I smelled it and then I had a minty feeling still in my nostrils.
I mean, I'm gonna save it, but I think it's a root mealy situation because it's not rehydrating.
Oh,
still gorgeous.
I'm gonna smell it. Did we smell this last week?
No. Yeah. No, we smelled it on your birthday weekend.
It still smells.
I don't remember this.
It still smells like Pepto.
Well, you like really take a big sniff.
Oh, yeah.
And it feels like menthol in your nose.
It does. It has a very minty, very menthol, very Pepto-Bismol
type. It smells like oleander.
It is the Hoya Matrata.
But look at that. Look at how that umbel is.
I do love these flowers. It's a very erect umbel, points directly up. And I talked to friend of the pod, Wendy, show.me.your.leaves, Wendy.
Remember, she was like, you can just say, show me your leaves.
No, because what if there's somebody else with that handle?
And she confirmed that hers was just blooming also, and that hers is, her peduncles are sticking straight up like that too.
Oh, wow.
So interesting how it does that. I don't understand.
Put it right here.
Oh,
for the people.
If you want to check it out.
If you're just listening, you should log on to our YouTube to see this beautiful bloom.
But yeah, I do like that bloom. I got a little time lapse of them kind of opening, but I was like moving my camera around a lot, so I missed some of them. But these leaves are just not rehydrating.
Yeah.
So
it's okay. It can be saved.
Oh, yeah. I've rerooted plants much bigger than this, so. I kind of just get to my chores. You know, I got chores stacking up, and I need to get them done.
But same.
She's a cutie. That was a first bloom.
Very beautiful.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was all three of Hoya, of Sarissa's posts that I was...
Okay, so where was Sarissa at?
Was at a plant expo.
In Thailand or something.
Hold on, I'm pulling it up. It's called the... Nunuch Plant Expo International 2025.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine going to a plant expo in Thailand?
Yeah, that would be crazy.
That would be so much fun.
That would be a dream. They probably have such good mangoes in Thailand. I freaking love mangoes.
Well, not you. Mangoes. Not you going from plant expo to mangoes.
I mean, you gotta have your mangoes while you're there. So I was doing a search on Google and there's actually quite a few publications that came out like between 24 to 2025. And I thought they were quite interesting. So of course there was the Hoya Buruensis that got published by Mikhail Rada and Sri Rahayu. There's another one April of this year, 2025, that came out by, Noraini Talib, Nur Hassan Hussein, Nur Saizwani Basir. I'm just not going to say the name.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
There's another publication that came out in April 2025, and it is the anatomical and micromorphological characteristics of 5 Hoya species, specifically to peninsular Malaysia. And so what they did was they looked more deeply into Hoya Kalina, diversifolia. Apparently there is a Hoya Fraterna.
Really?
Which is that, you know, older publication Fraterna. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. There's a Hoya Fraterna, Finlaysonii, and then a Cuta. And so that's an interesting article. And of course, like I said, we'll link all of the articles in the show notes. But basically, they just wanted to go over like general characteristics, if there's any variation, the anatomy, and then just, you know, see like the key aspects to these species and how they were identified, which I thought was pretty interesting. So that's one that came out in 2025.
Is that where the botanists of these days are going and back and kind of reanalyzing all of these species that were previously published just to see if they should be reclassified, regrouped differently?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. It seems like what they were doing was just observing more closely what all the common features are of those Hoya. And so there's a ton of information, and it like breaks it down like really in depth, opposed to like new Hoya species like publications. Like they actually go down to like the DNA and everything. So a lot of information. Some of it doesn't even make sense to me. But if you're into it and you want to know more about it and all of that jazz, then lucky for you, we'll have an article linked for that.
Exactly.
And then a month before that, in March of 2025, there was another article that came out with three new varieties of Hoya elagiorum. And they're in single quotations. So that means that they're cultivar. There's one called Moonlight, another one called Sunkissed, and Starburst.
Ooh. Sounds super gay and I love it.
So like the three main differences.
How do you spell the actual Hoya though? Hoya
elagiorum. I-L-A-G-I-O-R-U-M. Okay. And so there are three new varieties of that Hoya, and they were officially registered. And the key differences they were saying, so Hoya Moonlight, I guess, has a dainty creamy yellow inflorescence consisting of 31 to 112 individual flowers within the umbel, which is crazy amount of flowers.
Damn.
Crazy amount of flowers.
That is a lot of flowers.
And then the Sunkissed, I guess, has really striking leaves that are semi-globulose to globose. And the umbels have about 37 to 73 individual flowers. But I guess each of them are highly reflexed and very shiny. And they vary from like yellow to brownish pink on the edges, which sounds beautiful. And then Starburst has flowers that are in a semi-globose umbel. But I guess there's a variation in color. So some of them are like a creamy yellow and some of them have a reddish outline. And so they're all Hoya that are from the Philippines and officially registered and recognized as new varieties of Hoya elagiorum.
Wild.
I didn't even know that, like, that could be a cultivar. You know what I mean? Like, a different variety of a single Hoya is now registered as a cultivar.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
So, that's fun. We'll see if those, if we see those hit the market and what those maybe end up looking like, which will be interesting. Okay, but the article that I haven't fully read yet, but I'm really excited about was one that actually came out in 2024 of March of 2024. This is the morphological diversity and evolutionary changes of Pollinaria in Hoya. So what they did was they looked at the Pollinarium of 85 different Hoya species and four subspecies, and they investigated them thoroughly. And so I just thought this was fascinating. So I guess like the longest pollinium in Hoya is in Multiflora. And then the widest pollinium is in Archboldiana, which I feel like makes sense because Archboldiana is like such a big flower. And then the smallest pollinium found in Hoya is in Hoya bilobata.
Oh, wow. Not Minutiflora.
No. Which is kind of interesting. And I'm wondering if like Minutiflora is
was even submitted.
Yeah, was like one of the ones that they looked at. So my assumption is like of the 85 species and subspecies that they looked at were like the contenders that they made for this.
Which makes
so
sense.
Of those ones. But it's really interesting because they, I mean, there's like so much variation in all of the pollinium. And so they go over like all the different like shapes and characteristics. And I think especially like anybody who's maybe interested in hand pollination or anything like that, like this could be an interesting article and read about it and see how they're different and maybe give you a little bit more insight. So
okay,
I thought that one was fun.
Pollinarium is like the little capsules that the pollen is contained in that once you lock those into the channel, like for self-pollinating, which are hand pollinating.
Yeah.
a little tube comes out, like kind of grows out and delivers the pollen into the flower. But like it has to be locked in. That's from my understanding. Like, so the pollinarium they're talking about is like, is it just one side of that? Or is it like the whole thing combined with like the little, like, is the whole thing a pollinarium?
Yes. Okay. I don't know.
Is that what you, cause that's what I would think, but I don't know.
But it is interesting. But locking it into the channel is like the hardest thing.
Oh my gosh.
That's the part. That's the part that just like gets you. And then you think you got it.
The part that gets you is the fact that like a bug can just I'm walking by and do it. And it slip. Yeah. But we're like zoomed in, tools and all.
Yeah. No, I bet Teresa could do it with like her eyes closed at this point. But anyway, yeah. These
pollinaria look very much like little, like a bunch of like entomology, like with wings, like a bunch of bug wings.
It like does. Moths. But it's like so wild how big and large they look when you're looking at them on there. Yeah. And then when you're like faced with it in real life, they are so tiny. They are like little specks. And absolutely. It's wild and it's so, so freaking hard. But anyway, I thought that one was really interesting.
That is a really interesting article. I can't, and I'm like excited to read that now. Especially,
but there's just like so much stuff out there and people are doing all the things. So anyway, all of those will be linked. And honestly, I feel like the thing about like Hoya Publications is like, we don't have a place where like someone's announcing like, this is a publication that's come out. And so we end up sometimes not finding articles until a whole year has passed. And it's like the first time that we've heard about it. And honestly, if any of y'all find, you know, any new articles that we've never talked about, I mean, share them, because I think that's the way that we find out about them, is that people share them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But what else?
Sorry, I started looking at that.
Isn't like, it interesting though? Yeah, it's really interesting. Also, I bet like, I mean, because they're so small, I bet they were going like cross-eyed at one point trying to like really, I mean, even with using like,
yeah, like
a microscope, when I feel like
to measure a spot for like furniture, and if there it goes anywhere in between like a half an inch or to the 1 inch, I'm like so confused. And this, the like the unit of measurement that they have to measure these very minute, like
it's like nano something, it is, right? Wild, yeah. To me. It's crazy.
Oh.
But anyway, anything else that you guys have seen? And if not, that's okay too.
I don't have anything else that I...
Oh, I did just see something on unsolicited plant talks.
Mm-hmm.
Hoya Emerald Frost.
Oh, what's that?
Look at how cute it is. It's got hot pink edges.
Oh my gosh.
The one I just sent you guys this on the... I just sent you all a reel.
This is on Unsolicited Plant Talks Instagram. Hoya. Did they just post this reel today?
You know, I like how Google just gives you unsolicited AI overview, even if you don't ask for it. But anyway,
2 days ago.
It says, Hoya Para Emerald Frost is a cultivar of Hoya species Para, known for its beautiful variegated leaves.
It is gorgeously variegated and stunning. So this must be new.
Oh my gosh. You know,
it is new because it's wherever she keeps her special Hoya. They're right on top of that cabinet.
That's yeah, like her. That's all of her special Hoya spot. Okay, look at this one that someone... I mean, it's edited, but still, look at this one that someone posted on Instagram.
That's Para? Or is that the Emerald?
Emerald Frost.
Wow.
Okay, so what I'm looking at is... a Hoya that kind of reminds me of like
the Madara, if it was in order.
And it kind of reminds me of like the variegated, like Carnosa varieties. It looks a little bit like the Susie Q leaf shape at some points, like when you got the big leaves of the Susie Q, like it kind of like cupped in.
It reminds me of like a non-round version of the Sequinta.
I've never liked that
Sequinta
Hoya.
Planervis.
I have never liked that Hoya.
This the Hoya Sequinta Planervis. Yeah, because those look like they're like much bigger, rounder leaves, mm-hmm. but these look like a smaller version of that.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Huh. You know who I had forgotten about for a little while, and I was just on their Facebook today, and like there's just like so much stuff posted. Was a Hoya study corner by SC Plants. Remember they had like the cards, those Hoya cards that we were always talking about. And so this Facebook page is ran by Padamate and filled with like amazing information. And honestly, like he posts pretty consistently. And like some of the stuff that he's been talking about lately is just like comparing different types of Kumijiana. And posting like all the leaf shapes and the flowers. He talks about, you know, like whenever there's a new publication that comes out, sometimes he'll post it. But he compares a lot of different types of Hoya species, which I always find to be very interesting. There was something that I saw recently that he was doing, and he was making like a little informational thing about like botanists and plant collectors from way back in the day and just like posting information about them, which I think is interesting because these are people from like, there's someone on here from like 1869. That's from wild. 1927.
I really adore how he does the graphics and
it's so the good. And yeah, like literally someone from 1861. Oh, that person didn't live a very long time.
R.I.P.
And just, you know, the people and plant or Hoya that were named after them, like what areas that they were in. And I think that's super interesting. And he always just shares such good Hoya information that's very well, you know, put together and researched and thought out. And so definitely a page that, you know, I always like coming to the Hoya Study Corner by SC Plants. And I don't know if he's still selling his Hoya cards. I know it's like a limited thing because, of course, he just kind of does it on his own and manufactures it. He doesn't have like a big like publishing company or anything like that. But definitely good information, just like so much good information on here. So a great one to follow and look through and see what else he's posting because there's good information.
Yeah. I forgot about this the SC Plant Corner.
I did for a little while too, but then once you start scrolling, you're like, "Ooh, that's interesting. Like, that's cool." Like,
I'm like, "Ooh, fun."
There's, you know, comparing flowers, comparing foliage, comparing, just different Hoya. Like he was comparing between like Hoya Ubon Pink and Hoya Subquinta Planervis. And the different flowers between them. And it's just fascinating stuff that he does. So,
And I know we said it in an episode, our last episode, but an Instagram account, the Hoya Archive, that is a newer one. We kind of, is that the one by Michael?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Deep dives into some nerdy things, but a lot of focus on cobia.
Like all like the older stuff, which is really hard to find, which is also fascinating.
So if you want to nerd out, there are definitely spots like those.
Yeah.
Which, yes.
You know, choose your own adventure.
Yeah. And if that's something that you're interested in, like I said, there'll be show notes that'll be linked. If you just go straight into our bio on this episode or if you're on YouTube, then you can go on the, what do they call that? The
description.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that'll be linked there. And we'll have all of the articles and everything that we talked about linked so that if you're interested, then you can take a look.
Yeah. And don't forget to follow us over on Instagram. We are at let's.talkhoya. And you can also follow all of your hosts individually. I am at NotDude.
I'm at thegreenplant.az.
And I'm at BerritosyPlants. Adios.
Annyeong.
Bye. I was trying to get you at the button.
Picture this, you're scrolling through your feed and suddenly, bam, you land on an incredible live stream and someone sharing secrets about nurturing that stunning plant you've been eyeing. You're instantly hooked, asking questions, laughing, and joining vibrant conversations with passionate plant lovers from all over the world.
These live streams aren't just about selling plants. They're hangouts, educational classes, and exciting community events. And while you're waiting for your next favorite seller or educator to go live, join chat channels similar to Discord, where the fun never stops and plant friendships flourish.
Feeling inspired, you decide it's time to buy your dream plant. Here's the best part. It's not just a transaction. You're connecting directly with amazing sellers and becoming part of a genuinely engaged community. Need any tips? Have any questions? Want to celebrate your plant's first ever bloom? Overgrown Oasis community is always eager to support, guide, and cheer you on.
Overgrown Oasis is more than just a platform. It's your new plant-loving adventure and community home. So dive into the excitement, connect deeply, and watch your plant dreams bloom alongside friends. You can find Overgrown Oasis by visiting overgrownoasis.com.
Your ultimate plant-loving community awaits.